Hello, everybody. You're very welcome to the launch of The Meaning of Marriage, which is a pastoral statement by the Irish Catholic Bishops Conference. We have here today Bishop Liam McDade, who's chair of the Council for Family and Marriage of the Irish Catholic Bishops Conference. Bishop McDade, of course, is also Bishop of Clogher. And we also have Bishop Kevin Doran, and Bishop Doran has many hats, and we all know him as the new Bishop of Elphin. So I'm going to invite Bishop McDade now to formally launch the Meaning of Marriage pastoral statement. Thank you, Bishop McDade.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to everybody. We appreciate your acceptance of our invitation. My name is Bishop Liam McDade of the Diocese of Clogher. I welcome you as chairperson of the Council for Marriage and the Family. Today, on behalf of the Irish Episcopal Conference, we're launching a pastoral statement on the meaning of marriage. This statement is intended to be put before our people again the Christian understanding of marriage, a communion of life and love between a man and a woman, in a union for life which is open to new life and which provides the best and most stable environment for children to grow up and to develop. Currently, this statement is being distributed to our people through parishes and other outlets. It's also available online. We wish and we encourage everyone to read carefully this pastoral statement so as to be better informed in preparation for the debate which will inevitably unfold during the coming referendum. This statement has been piloted among a cross-section of people and age groups, and we're glad to be able to say that there has been a considerable input by married couples. So I'll pass over to Bishop Kevin Doran for a few minutes. You may have some questions then which you would like to put to us, and we'll do our best to give you whatever information that you may need. Thank you for your attention.
Thanks, Bishop Liam, and thank you all for being here. As you'll probably be aware, the recent extraordinary Synod of Bishops focused on the pastoral challenges for the family in the context of evangelisation. Evangelisation means good news, so immediately there's a clear indication of the connection between family and good news. The Irish Bishops Conference was represented at the Synod last October by Archbishop Dermot Martin, and he reported to the Episcopal Conference yesterday. The Synod was the first part of a two-stage initiative by Pope Francis, and the second stage will take place in autumn of 2015. In the meantime, each Episcopal Conference has been asked to begin a conversation within the local church about the meaning of marriage and about how we as a community of faith can together respond to the challenges facing the family today. As in the case of any conversation, the pastoral statement wasn't prepared in a vacuum. It was prepared in the context of the proposal by government to redefine the meaning of marriage by asking people in this jurisdiction to extend marriage to same-sex couples. The pastoral statement makes it clear that this would be a contradiction in terms, since marriage is of its nature a committed relationship between a man and a woman which is open to the transmission of life. The Synod of Bishops did not at any stage suggest that the Church's teaching on marriage could somehow be changed. Its purpose was to consider how the Church could support pastorally the challenges facing the family. The primary concern of the Irish Bishops' Conference, where marriage is concerned, is to encourage the thousands of married couples who are young and old, who are faithfully living the vocation of marriage, in what can sometimes be a very difficult environment, economically, culturally and spiritually. And alongside this, obviously, there's a particular concern to offer spiritual and pastoral support to couples facing particular challenges. And this is what the Church is doing on a daily basis in its pastoral ministry in all our parishes and all our dioceses. So thank you very much again.
Okay. Thank you very much. You can take some questions now, please.
Just within the pamphlet, it says that state should urgently provide services to help with marriages. What exactly do you mean by that? And what services in particular would you be looking to be introduced by the state?
Well, I think that's it's a general statement in the pastoral, it's a general remark in the pastoral statement, that this is something which which the church will be engaged in, particularly over the next year in preparation for the second part of the synod. We have to look at the services that we provide both in preparation for marriage and during married life, so that our people's understanding of the Christian marriage may deepen, and that they may be enriched by living in the spirit that Jesus Christ showed us, the spirit of self-giving.
It's interesting too that in some of his comments post-synod, Pope Francis has pointed to some of the difficulties, and the bishops also in their relatio at the end of the synod, commenting on things like the difficulties that couples face, not being able to marry because of inadequate housing or because of employment problems. And these are things which obviously we would see the state as needing to challenge, because the state is responsible for the common good. But equally, we've said in the pastoral statement that as Christians, as Catholics in our parish communities, we also have to take responsibility, that it's not enough to say that the family is important, but that in each of our parishes we have to create the conditions that support families.
Bishop Thorne, you yourself were quoted with Whiting Media last week as saying, advocating for better inheritance rights for potentially all long-term couples, but it was taking the same-sex marriage couples as well. And the previous month in October, the Synod, the Pope was putting forward some outreach measures towards the gay community at large. Is it not a broader movement within these things would have been not be able to be countenanced 20 years ago? Is it not a broader movement that the Church is going towards more kind of secularism as regards the gay community?
Well, I think the Church, like every organisation, reads the signs of the times, and the reality is that there are couples in Irish society who live in long-term committed relationships who are not necessarily married. Some of these are male-female relationships, some of them are same-sex relationships, and some of them might be just lifelong friends. What we would be saying was, by virtue of all rights really flow from needs, and by virtue of the reality in which people live, and the fact that maybe they share homes, the fact that they've been together for a long time in their lives, they have naturally the right, for instance, to have access to visiting in hospitals as next of kin. They have a right to have inheritance considered in the event of the death of another person with whom they're closely related, not because of their sexual orientation, but just because they're human beings.
Okay, Sarah.
Is this setting out the Church's stall for our society generally, or is this geared towards Christians who believe marriage is a sacrament? Because one of the things that, say, people who are in civil partnerships who might be looking for a gay marriage, they feel if they're not practicing Catholics, then the Church should not be influencing, how the state approaches this.
Well, the pastoral statement is meant primarily for our own members, but it's meant for all people as well, because the view of marriage as being between a man and a woman and for life, I mean, that's not something which is particular to Catholics or to Christians. Even there are lots of people of other religious beliefs and of non who believe in that. So in that sense, we would be thinking, we would be hoping that people of goodwill, of any persuasion, will find things of interest and will find helpful things in the meaning of marriage. And that's why we're offering it to everybody and hoping that everybody will read it.
I think that I made the point last week in a statement in my own diocese that marriage serves the common good, because and it does so at a number of levels. First of all, the couples enrich one another, and this is not necessarily Christian marriage. Obviously, the Christian marriage places a particular significance and gives a certain richness of meaning to marriage. But faithful, committed love of a man and woman, serves their common good as a couple, serves the well-being of their children, but also creates the stability in society, because it's the basis on which young people grow to citizenship.
Can I just ask you, is the Church setting out its stall, it's going to oppose the government on this issue?
Well, I don't think there would be any question about what the Church's position is. The reality is that a same-sex union is not a marriage. Mm. And to try to extend the term marriage to same-sex unions is actually a contradiction in terms. It's not about homosexuality. It's about the meaning of marriage and the value that we place on that, and I suppose particularly on the importance we see in marriage for children and for their well-being.
The church would take the view that you know, that to put any other view of marriage or view of unions, you know, on the same level as Christian marriage would be would be a disservice to society rather than a service.
And could I also just say that maybe there can sometimes be an assumption out there that you can take same-sex relationships and call them marriage and put them up there as, if you like, another item on the menu alongside the existing understanding that we have of marriage. But in fact, if the law changes and extends marriage to include same-sex couples, it actually changes the meaning of marriage for everybody and for society. So you can't, it's you know, you can't have both. It's either one or the other.
Thanks. Bishop McDade, what do you think of what Pope Francis recently said about children have a right to grow up in a family with a father and a mother?
Well, that would be very much the Church's understanding of marriage. You know, that it's union, communion of life and love between a man and a woman for life, and that this is the best environment for children to live in and to grow up in and develop in. And in a same-sex union, that the children will be deprived of what either a man or a woman, as a mother or father, can give to children in a stable marriage environment.
As regards the referendum itself, the opinion polls, they don't look the best from the no side. It'll take almost a miraculous turnaround for the no side to win in that one. What's the church's tactic going to be as regards trying to swing public opinion towards your thinking on the matter of same-sex marriages?
I think in Irish society we'd be asking people to reflect carefully on the issues, not to take the proposal of same-sex marriage as for granted. We have to actually reflect seriously on what we understand by marriage, our own marriages included. But on a worldwide level, one of the interesting things is, while there's a sort of an assumption that this is a no-brainer, in some societies, the legislature has legislated for same-sex marriage, but in other societies, and almost everywhere where there has been a referendum on this, it has been rejected. In fact, very interestingly, recently in California, while the state actually legislated for same-sex marriages, there was subsequently a referendum and the people turned it out.
Could I ask you, just linked into that, it's mentioned here that the statement was piloted amongst a cross-section of people. And I'm wondering, because when I saw that, you know, I thought about all the opinion polls. Is what you found amongst those people that you piloted this, that people are more in line with what you're thinking on marriage than, say, what the polls, the opinion polls are saying?
I think this would be the issue.
What we're saying in that is that there were a number of people who were given an opportunity to have their say and to make suggestions to us and to give us their ideas, and that there was a cross-section of people, both of age and sex and so on, so that the statement has the benefit of having a variety of opinions that were listened to and sifted in its preparation, and that both men and women, married couples, who had the opportunity of making their contribution, and we feel that is enriched.
Okay, the Bishop's Conference meeting is ongoing inside, so if there's a last question, we'll take it now. Otherwise, we'll draw to a conclusion. Okay, with Sarah one and Ciarán then.
Yeah, sorry, you might find this a bit superficial, but I was asked to ask you what your response is to the fact that the Taoiseach went to
the gay bar,
yeah, and showed support for Ms. Canty.
I suppose let's take those two things. You can go into a bar sometimes without knowing what kind of a bar it is. I don't know what his support was, so I wouldn't want to comment on that. I mean, I wasn't aware that had happened.
Okay.
I don't think really it would be appropriate to comment on that. I mean, it's
in the eventuality of a yes vote, if the referendum does carry, what will the church's response be? Will it be one of acceptance, or where will you take it from there in that eventuality?
Well, you have to accept realities, but it doesn't necessarily mean you have to agree. And obviously the church's teaching on the sacredness of marriage and on the nature of marriage wouldn't change. I suppose it would create questions for us in terms of our pastoral response, but we haven't made the assumption that it's going to pass. In fact, our hope would be that the referendum would be defeated.
Okay, thank you very much, everybody, and for your attendance.